I gotta say, between the three of us, you look the freshest. Kristen and I look like we're feeling pretty hungover, and there you are looking fresh, still drinking. So I think that was our problem, that we stopped drinking, and oh. You just carried on.
No,
is that the secret here?
I had to do hair of the dog about midday because I was just so wrecked still. So.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Jennifer's fine.
No, I've not been fine all day. I mean, this is the fake veneer. Like, you peel this back and it's Dante's eighth circle. Like, I don't know. I really don't know what is propping me up right now. Also, I don't know why I had to. Well, okay, I do know why. It was a 2011 Barolo. I'm not going to turn that down.
Nor should you. From just outside the perimeter, a little more outside the perimeter, and way the goddamn hell outside the perimeter.
It's not that far!
Of Atlanta, Georgia. Where the Revolution throws tea while Yorgos scores three.
It's good.
Yeah. I'm happy with that.
It's not bad. It's not bad. No,
I'm very happy with that.
It's better than the one that you said you were going to use that was accidentally spilled.
Always keeping my ego in check. I appreciate it. It is the Five Takes podcast, and we are back.
We're back, baby.
Like Mike Tyson. 57? 58 years old? 58. Sorry. Taking on Mr. Logan Paul, yeah?
Jake Paul.
The other white Paul.
I don't know anything about either of them. I don't care. I just cannot wait to see this guy get absolutely obliterated in like
I think that
round.
Might happen. I mean, he's beat a few MMA fighters of notoriety.
Yeah.
And look, he might be able to outlast Tyson, but what's that quote? Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face.
Is Mike Tyson just that broke?
No, I think he's fine.
See, that's the thing. The other guy challenged him. Jake Paul said, "I'll beat anybody, including Mike Tyson. I don't care." You know, he's just.
And then Mike Tyson said, "All right."
Yeah, and Tyson was like, "Bring it."
I think Mr. Paul might be in the fuck around portion of fuck around and find out. I think he might be finding out on Netflix.
Yeah. It's not until this is so I've seen some shit like because it's coming up on TikTok and that's the only reason why I know anything about it. And what's interesting is that some of the rules that they are making Tyson adhere to compared to what Jake Paul has to adhere to, like for instance, Tyson will have to weigh in, Paul will not.
Jeez.
Like that's an easy one. Like he will have to weigh in because they don't want him. And I'm like, wait, what? Just other things, you know, like that the restrictions that they're putting on Tyson that they're not going to put on Jake Paul. I'm like,
that's pretty telling.
This doesn't sound like a very even match.
That sounds like a dangerous man, even at 58. Paul might be able to maybe outlast him just endurance wise, like dance around, because I'm sure at 58, Tyson isn't going to be like, you know, floating like a butterfly, as it were. But
I'll tell you what, one
good right hook, like if he just loads up his right arm like 1-2,
yeah, his training videos that they've been showing up, boy, that guy is still gonna sting like a motherfucker.
On a completely related note, I don't know if y'all watch it, but like I absolutely love the Mike Tyson mysteries on Adult Swim.
And
if you haven't given the Mike Tyson mysteries on Adult Swim, it's Mike Tyson and like a Scooby-Doo gang of people, including a proper Edwardian English ghost.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. So,
it's wonderful. Go kill your brain cells and enjoy a couple of episodes of that. It's kind of like it's got a very Venture Brothers bent to it.
Okay.
Noted.
Got it.
It's like Venture Brothers mashed up with Scooby-Doo and Mike Tyson. With all his I destroyed all my brain glory.
Lovely. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I think Tyson is probably going to bring the fight to him. Much like we brought the fight to New England. That was a good win. Hey, I'd like to start this thing off by raising my hand and saying I got that one wrong. I was going
to. So wrong, Glenn.
So wrong. So very, very wrong. And I'm extremely happy to be dead ass wrong at my prediction of 2-2 with it just kind of not really happening for us. It happened for us. There were some moments, and we'll talk about it. You know, it's not like everything was perfect, and it shouldn't be in the second
no,
match.
Not, in not the too second high, match.
Not too low, but two penalties, and then what you were saying, because Kat was at the match. We were all at the match. Everybody was there.
We were all there.
AJ was there. Michael was there. Everybody was there. It was a wonderful
Lily
time.
Was there.
Wonderful time. It was a good time. And I remember you saying something to me after we scored our second penalty. It'd be really nice if we could get an open play goal. and we got it.
Yeah. And I think
pretty spectacular fashion.
I said it really like, what is it? I have the tendency, by the way, to like make these kind of comments, don't I? When I'm there, I'm like, God, we need a third one. And then within like 3 or 4 minutes, usually we end up getting whatever it is I said we need.
So you know what that means?
I know.
That
I'm
means
sorry.
You need to go to more of the games.
Exactly
I need
what it means. You have a responsibility. You have a responsibility.
I know. I'm sorry. But yeah, I was like, I said that. I was like, we have to score from open play because we did have a significant amount of possession of the ball, and we really controlled most of the match. So it's like, for confidence building sakes and for really just to prove to everybody that was on the pitch at any given throughout the match, they needed to prove that we could score from open play. And we did. They were brilliant. And they
You know who else got things right? My boyfriend, Mark. He said Gigi was going to have a brace and Thiago was going to get the other one. And his score prediction was 3-1.
Greg Mitchell got it dead on at 4-1, actually, in the Chant app, I believe. He predicted that
exactly. That's a lofty aspiration to really kind of go with that.
Got it.
But what's funny, too, is I actually do remember I said it was 3-0 and you were like, oh, yeah, I just really want a clean sheet. And I was like, well, I'll tell you what. If it ends up being 4-1... This is what I said. I said, if it's 4-1 and we don't get the clean sheet, at least it's 4-1. So.
Right. I would have preferred the clean sheet.
Close.
But
it, we obviously for, but that wasn't a cheap goal.
But to predict 4-1 is pretty bold.
That's pretty remarkable.
Pretty good. I think someone else made a bold prediction. I think Tommy from Scarves and Spikes, he posted something where he had a parlay bet of, Yorgos 2 or more goals, and he got it. It was only like a $5 or $10 bet, I think, and I want to say the payout was like $150 or something. So that's pretty good.
That's
pretty bold, you know. Looks like if Yorgos might be a safe bet this season.
I want to know and do it. I think his XG every game is probably going to be up there.
XG on GG.
I don't think that they're wrong. And I don't think that they're wrong. And there it is, folks.
Yes. US. We're watching on our second or third or fourth screens, USA Brazil in the CONCACAF W Gold Cup final. It looks like the whistle went for full time.
And now,
they're looking at something.
What are they doing? Oh, they're okay. She's not done. Okay.
It is not the end. We are doing a goal kick. Anyhow,
there was some confusion there.
That is CONCACAF. It wouldn't be CONCACAF
if there wasn't some weird confusion.
a moment of controversy and confusion. But it does look like the women are going to get this thing. Anyhow, it was a very good match. I think we were pretty happy with it, and we'll talk about the things that were really happy with. There's your win for the women. Well done to them. Very much looking forward to the women's national team coming here in April. Alrighty. Before we move on, let's thank somebody. Let's thank Mason Mill, who are a longtime chiropractic sponsor. They have been riding with us for the past 4 years, and they continue to do so. And we couldn't do all of this without them. We couldn't promote ourselves the way we are. And man, I don't know. I don't know what more to say about them. I feel like I repeat the same things every week, but I don't want it to feel just like your typical ad reads, you know, for that you all hear on podcasts. Like, this stuff is actually really important to us. We believe in the practice because Kristen and I have been going there for a long time, and
every
we don't want to just promote something just for the sake of, you know, they support our pod, so we have to say nice things about them. Like, it's actually really important, and I mean, you only have one body. It's really, really, really important to take care of it in a proactive way, not in a reactive way. Don't be dumb like I have been in the past before I started going to chiropractic care like 10 years ago. Like, take care of yourself now. Try to avoid problems in the ravages of aging as best you can, especially if you don't have amazing genetics. Like Jennifer's family, who just drinks from the perpetual fountain of youth and just doesn't age at all. Like, if you age like a normal person, you should go to chiropractic care. And Mason,
you know, my dad goes to regular chiropractic care.
Well, there you go. That's part of it. Then
Mill is a little bit inconvenient given the location, but
fair enough.
We definitely all believe in chiropractic care in this family.
It's important. It's important. And if Mason Mill is convenient enough to you, they're in Decatur, Georgia, off McConnell Mill Drive. You should go check them out. 404-321-0082. Ashley or Rachel will be the ones usually on the other end of the line to set you up with your appointment. You can also go on to masonmillchiro.com, learn more about the practice, and book appointments that way too. Though it is good to give them a call if it's your first appointment, just to get to know them and have a conversation about what your needs are, and they will do a very good job of taking care of you. Alrighty. Before we jump into the takes proper, is there anything that you want to talk about outside of that, pre-match, post-match, in the match, anything? I know we had a great time at the tailgate. That was
awesome. I just want to put out like mad snaps, and I mean mad snaps to the folks at the Gulch and all the SG tailgate leads and the crazy that has been the last couple of weeks with regards to getting the tailgate spot on lockdown and all that other stuff. None of that's, a lot of people were very frustrated not knowing. Y'all pulled off a hell of a party yesterday. It was amazing.
Yes. Everybody was frustrated, including the leads of the various tailgate committees from the Gulch and all the supporters group. They want to lock down a spot earlier too, and it kind of got the rug pulled out from under them, and they still got this thing off the ground.
It was awesome. The crowd was fire. Big. It was banging. It was loud.
It was noisy. It was bouncing.
Apparently broke the bridge up to the
stadium. Oh my Lord. So Kristen and I, we meet up at the tailgate and we're walking up the bridge with the march. We're a little off to the right and we get up beside the bends, you know, on that incline, and everybody takes a knee, getting down, bouncing low, right? And then the flare's going, everyone's jumping.
And this we were at the beginning. Everybody was behind us on the bridge. So
we're slightly ahead.
Yeah, we're slightly ahead.
Slightly ahead of it. And this bridge is made of concrete and rebar and steel, very strong materials.
Yeah.
And this thing, it felt like being on a trampoline. So I turned to Kristen and I'm like, do we need to get the fuck off this thing?
I've never felt a road. And remember, this is like MLK Drive going down in front of the Benz. I've never felt a road flex.
That's true.
I'm like, is this supposed
to be flexible?
Have you ever seen that old black and white video of the bridge during the earthquake where it's twisting? Oh my God. It was kind of like that. It was like that. And Glenn was freaking out and Lily and I were like, whoa, we're like wide-eyed little kids. Like, holy shit, dude.
Well, I wanted to get to the match. I didn't want to be buried in rubble. Like, I didn't know what was going on. Like, that was, I mean, we've been a part of some great tailgates, some great marches. That energy for that one, I mean, it was raucous. I loved it.
Let me tell you, I don't remember the last time I saw the supporter section that full. Like, it was a lot of flags.
A lot of people.
And it was rocking, and people were chanting, and they were really going for it. I do need to put out one PSA, because, like, bring that energy back. Get in my veins. That is amazing.
Yes, run it back.
Yep. But when you're going to throw your beer to celebrate the goals, you only throw the beer part. Don't throw the cup up and back, please. Please.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, like it's okay. Everybody's going to deal with the beer shower. Nobody needs to get beamed in the head with a cup. Not
true. True. Not protocols. Have some courtesy, y'all.
Please.
Fling your Miller Lite.
It doesn't feel great. Cup. Yeah, it doesn't feel great when you get nailed.
No. Beer only up and back.
Yep. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Jennifer will be holding a class. soon, and we'll let you know the sign-up times for all that. All right, number one. So tonight, at least we desired to counterattack. We kind of lacked the execution, but at least we wanted to, and that's more than we could say what we did for Columbus. To me, that's on coaching, though. That's got to be on coaching. Like, our best open play opportunity in the first half, it got better in the second, came from Thiago after we stayed compact and won the ball back, and then we go. It really looks like, to me, that aspect of our game is something that, even though Gonzo says to the contrary, but he's got to be, you know, drilling these guys on, okay, yeah, we win the ball, but we don't necessarily need to break. It just seems like almost every time our instinct is to just negative pass back, lateral, calm things down, instead of
taking advantage of
winning a ball in an advantageous position and go.
It's so counterintuitive to how, at least to the people that have been watching since the very beginning, since 17, it's counterintuitive to how we like to play. It was one of the things that we felt like we were lacking during the FDB era is the fast possession-based play and mm-hmm. constantly trying to pounce on the counters. I don't understand why we wouldn't want to encourage that entirely, but
I'm gonna jump in here.
I see your face. You're trying. You don't necessarily agree.
I think what we did see was actually good coaching from a tactical shift perspective. Because mm-hmm. what happened in the first 20-25 minutes of that match? Number one, I don't know that we were as switched on as maybe we should have been. I don't, you know, whatever.
Just frustrating.
Feeling the game out, and sure. they were okay. apparently playing in a different formation than they had been playing.
Yeah, 3-4-3.
Previously, where, you know, maybe they didn't have tape on that, whatever. But we were trying to get everything, all the balls through the, you know, through Thiago, through the middle. We were not using the wings. We were not.
No, you're right.
The big switch, right. And they were doing and New England did a great job of clogging the middle and mm-hmm. shutting us down.
Yeah.
And what happened in about minute 30, minute 35, somewhere in that neck of the woods, is all of a sudden they realized, or maybe Pineda yelled about it, I don't know, but they started using the wings and Lennon and Wiley to push the ball up forward instead of trying to drag it through the midfield. And that's right. when the chances started coming.
I'm really surprised, though, because it just seems like that, I don't necessarily want to say that's been our bread and butter for the last year, but it does, that worked so well, so I don't know why we wouldn't lead with that. I know you said that the formation was a little bit different, but we know that that works, and we know that Saba is gonna, we're gonna want to play him out to the side, and we know that we're gonna want to play Caleb down the left. I don't know why we would wait.
I think
20 minutes, was he trying something else?
We're trying harder to get the ball to Gigi and not using the wings to necessarily do that, right? I think mm-hmm. they were trying to feed Gigi, give Gigi the ball more. And, you know, if you notice, Gigi had very limited touches in the first 25 to 30 minutes of the match.
No, he did. Like, no, he absolutely did.
Him. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until we started throwing stuff in from the wings, getting Saba involved and getting Jonde involved, that right. all of a sudden people stopped paying attention to Gigi and he started
getting.
But that
works. More. But we know that works. So why would we not do that from the beginning? Are we just tactically trying different things so that we don't become predictable?
You know,
because
it's
feasible, I guess.
Possible. Like, that's my, you know, if you want to have like, why this isn't a statement win for me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't a statement win. We didn't come out there, take control of the whole thing, and just boom. This was a very, very even match for the first 42 minutes.
Yeah, I'll
right?
give you that.
Yeah.
Even the, first half even the whole
even.
First half. The whole first half.
The whole first half. We didn't mm-hmm. really figure it out and unlock it until really that penalty and then the second half.
That's true.
So we are still a team trying to find its identity, trying to figure out okay. what is going to work? What isn't going to work? You know, opening up the wings and throwing the big switch, which Thiago is amazing at, right? That's not going to work with every team. It really depends on how they set up. You know, a team that's going to play, three back, or a team that's going to play, you know, two back and then actually use their fullbacks as defenders, you know, or use their six as a defender, that's going to look really different trying to get your wingers involved. And you're not going to necessarily be able
it's
to see
true.
That until
right.
you get
into
game.
And on from our physical perspective, from where our seats are, because I know that you're on the left of the goal when, you know,
yes,
we're in the 100s where we are, you're on the left and we're on the right. So it's kind of an interesting perspective because you can quite literally see when they go to push down the left side, when obviously when they're going away from the supporter section. So in the first half, you're able to see how they push up the left side. And we were able to see how we push from the, how we play out of the back and push up the right side. And for, I know Glenn, at least for the first 20 or 25 minutes, I don't know how many times I heard him yell Bartos. Oh, Bartos, you know, he's yelling it because he's not seeing the movement through the middle. Whereas right. I was looking at Gregerson. I don't know how many times I watched him have the ball and you can see, you can literally see our lineup going, you know what I mean? Our formation going up the right side. You can see Lennon there and you can see Saba up ahead of him. And instead of playing that line forward, Gregerson's passing back to Guzan. So whatever potential momentum we had in that counter when we've won the ball back and it comes to Gregerson, I mean, and it's open. Is what I'm saying. It's on the counter and the, and not just a counter, but an actual collected forward moving attack. He's passing back to Guzan. And to me, that has to be coaching. There's, I hope that that's not his instincts because I want someone, I want a back line that is protective, but also aggressive. And there was no reason why Gregerson couldn't have played us down and played that ball forward. It was, it, there was some where I was like, why pass back? Why?
I still think a big part of that is Sleash, who looked a lot better today from the start. He did look a lot better today.
He did.
Sleash is still not 100% there yet. Like, and his position is really, you know, the most unsung, hardest to make look good position on the pitch, in my opinion.
A holding mid. I don't disagree.
You know, you're only going to notice a holding mid when they're really fucking shit up, right? Otherwise, you shouldn't be talking about them. Their job is to make it invisible and seamless, and I still think it's going to take another couple of matches.
No,
it is. That's a tough position. That and the 10 are probably the hardest to really get synced up with the rest of your teammates.
Yeah,
so
I
credit
remember
where
that,
it's due. I think you had some fair points about Gonzo. I do think he is good at adjusting, recognizing, hey, this isn't working and making an adjustment. My worry is eventually, you know, we will give up a goal in the first 10, 15 because we weren't ready and we're not great. And maybe it'll be better this season. Time will tell at getting back. You know, we need that first goal. We have always been that team, always, even the Tata days, we've always been that team that needs that first goal. So I just hope that we can figure it out more from the start than after 25 or even 45 minutes. That worries me a little bit.
Well, I mean, I don't think that, I think what I liked better about the first half, like in terms of what I saw here versus Columbus, is we had better control of the second and third ball. Right. They were getting in there. They were getting in there and really, you know, if they coughed the ball up, they got it back.
That's
and
just that an energy thing. That's just a commitment.
So much. We did that so much last season, especially in the latter half after we made all the trades, after the big shift, as it were. And I think that's why we ended up having, we did have a lot of, you know, end of the game goals where we were at least, you know, getting
we have to grow into the game a lot faster. It cannot take us a whole
and that's
half.
Not entirely on the coach. Number two is all about the players. Like there were huge pockets of space in the first half that really, like, we want to counterattack. We get frustrated at a ball being passed back, but if there's no one running, making a run into a dangerous area where there
that's
is
true.
Space to be
no,
had
true.
Then you can't really do much with it. That got better in the second half, but for me did. That aspect of it, that's more on the recognition in the moment that comes from the players, not
no,
so
it
much
is
a
it is
fundamental
true.
Coaching
and,
idea,
right? And in the scenarios that I was talking about, like on with Gregerson and going down the right side, as much as Gregerson needs to recognize and where that space is, those two guys on that side need to create that space and see and say, and you know, look at me, I'm gonna make a run, and they need to make the run. And I did see when I went back and I looked back at both the Columbus match and this last night's match, Saba is making a lot of those runs. He's really trying to, and he's constantly having to make the run and then get back on side and then make the run and then get back on side. And I think that I'm hoping that that our players will start.
Well,
I do see it. I hope
shouts
they see
to
it
Saba
more.
And the defensive work that he
oh,
does.
Yeah.
I think
oh,
he
yeah.
can be and a liability at times, but he is committed to it. It's not like he doesn't try
I think that the role that he is going to fit into, much like I think the responsibilities that have been given to him, I think are very cut and dry. And that's that he is going to be very dangerous on that wing. And Gonzo is willing to concede a little bit of that, like you said, a little bit of that dangerousness, that living on the edge a little bit that
but
he
he's
creates.
Not like a- Gonzo doesn't
have to worry about
it. He's not reckless.
But he's not a liability like a Gressel. And all due respect to Gressel.
Yeah. No. I don't think so. I don't think he's reckless. And I don't think it's a liability. What I'm saying is I think he's willing to kind of give up a little bit of that living on the edge, dancing on the edge or tiptoeing on it of that. Like, well.
Well, I mean, that's the type. That's the
he
brand
might
of
concede.
Soccer we
yeah,
too.
He might
we
concede
play high
some
risk
position.
Soccer. We do,
and so he might concede some possession in potentially dangerous areas to try and create that extra movement forward.
So. I think primarily like the fact that there are these pockets of space and players making runs to them and they're not getting the ball is timing and chemistry, right? That's just going to be
better too. Second match.
We have a completely new back line. We have a completely new midfield pair.
It's not a take, but. As far as like responsibility and roles, Derek Williams is playing.
He should have been a take.
A really big role, a key role. If it looks organized back there,
yeah,
a lot of that's down to him.
Yeah, I
and
think
his communication
what
and Caleb Wiley has said as much to the point of his communication abilities and how he really is talking to everyone. That's huge. That's
and I didn't
huge.
Have to
it's
say
not all
his
good.
Name. I didn't have to say his name almost at any point last night, which means he's doing his job.
On top of his communication.
I didn't have to say like, you know, granted now it was good things like you said, you know, but like, I didn't have to be like, oh, what are you doing? You know, I didn't say his name except maybe once at the beginning. So he's doing his job all night.
Look, as far as I'm concerned, Derek Williams saved that match for us. There was one play around the 25th minute or so where
England
got a breakout. It might have been Heal. I can't remember if it was Heal or
it's always
the
Heal.
Heal and Chunkley. Yeah.
Yeah. And Derek Williams, he had broken away from the pack. Derek Williams caught up to him, stripped him of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And turned it around and got a counter going the other way. That right there, because it was still 0-0 when it happened, that saved the match. Because that would have last year, that would have been in the back of the net, and it would have been that stupid, oh my God, brain fart goal that we whined and bitched and moaned about for like basically every match.
No, he's massive because a player like Heal can pop in out of nowhere. Like one Jack Purdy, who just joined.
Nice segue.
Just crushed Jack Purdy. Hello,
not
Jack.
Bad. Not bad. Guys, I got it. You were, I think I know what you're talking about. Gregerson is like low-key my man of the match just because.
No, actually, we were talking about Derek Williams.
Go ahead. Go on.
I kind of forgot Derek was on the team by the time the match started.
But that's a good thing. That's what I'm saying. I was like, we didn't have to say his name.
Right.
Which makes me think he was doing his job.
It's also because Gregerson's about 18 feet tall.
That's also
noticeable.
True. It's hard to miss. Yes, exactly.
Right. When he's doing, when New England was attacking on my end of the stadium, when he would just throw his body in front of a guy and just play really good paint basketball defense, and it's just like, you're not getting by him. You just weren't. Like that
and
was
it,
really nice to see.
It must have been. It's interesting too because it must have been a tale of two halves for Gregerson because when we had him on our end, when the defensive end is on with us, I was saying that it felt to us like to me in particular like he was actually having a hard time. He was constantly playing the ball back. So I don't think that he had as much to do in that same way as he may have had once we played into the second half because. I mean, the man is—he's a mountain. What did we call him? What did we decide we were going to call him?
He's a It's a—he's
the Norwegian
giraffe, or was it a
the giraffe? The giraffe. Yeah, the Norwegian
we
giraffe.
One's like
a gazelle, but he's as big as a giraffe.
Right.
Right.
And giraffe
right.
angry assholes. So he's a giraffe.
It can be.
having just joined, Jack, I'm assuming the Academy Awards is over. Who won? Who won things? I work in the film industry and I don't even know.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
I know Robert Downey Jr. got best supporting actor, I think.
The ones that were supposed, the ones that you would have thought that would have won one, like RDJ got his, Oppenheimer got the big one. Emma Stone got best actress.
Good.
I need to see little things.
Instead of Lily Gladstone.
Someone who is not a little someone who is not a little thing is Guzan. He's a big thing and he isn't going anywhere.
No, I don't think so.
He's going nowhere. He had a great game. He had a great game in Columbus, despite, you know, the goal. Like, he saved the penalty. I don't see any reason right now to throw Cohen in.
No.
Agree, disagree? Do you see justification for that at all? Apart from F it, try it? Like,
just the fact that I would want him to play all of next year and play with the guys.
Yeah, so, I mean, do we? I want to see him in tournament play. You know,
we'll definitely see it at that Open Cup for sure. Leagues Cup for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Or if we have,
if Guzan drops off.
But I mean, I was gonna say if we have like a bunch of matches in the same week or something like that, give Guz a rest. Like that might be worth it. But
goalkeepers don't really need it.
But I know,
Jack brings up
a good
point. Do you get to a point in the season, even if Guz is doing well? 65-70% save percentage, better than he was last year. And a lot of that is also due to just having better defense. Get it.
Yeah.
But do you have to just say, you know what? He's good. This isn't personal. It's not performance. But if this is going to be our new guy going forward, he needs minutes.
No, I think he knows.
Because we're not going to exercise that option, are we? Like, we're not going to keep Guz at 41. We're not going to Tom Brady this thing, right?
I hope not.
Okay.
I think Jack absolutely makes a valid point. If they want to find out this year if Cohen is going
to
be that guy, because if Cohen is not going to be that guy, we're going to have to go out and find that guy offseason.
You don't get the best player in a specific national league and not play him. Like, I know it's the Israeli league. It's not like it's a big one, but it still has aspirations for
U.S. men too.
Yeah, that's not nothing. Yeah, like you gotta let him play at some point. So
I mean, I personally think that I think very likely we'll see Cohen for Chicago. I think that's
he was warming up last night. He was in full kit. So it's like if Guz had walked out and said maybe I'm not feeling it tonight, like maybe he felt a little tight somewhere in the hammy, then it very easily could have been Cohen.
Look, Guz is the oldest guy in MLS right now. Like, yep, yeah.
So you're saying Chicago, end of the month. If let's theorize this, like, let's say Guz continues to perform well. What point do you just have to go, I have to throw Cohen in? At what point in the season? Guz hasn't made a massive error. It's not for that reason. He's doing well, but you got to do it.
I said Chicago because, you know, not to knock Chicago, but we're still figuring out who all the teams in
Chicago knocks themselves.
Yeah, I know, but we don't have a great track record against Chicago, and we actually we tend to play down to the level of other teams instead of
also true.
opposing teams, like bringing them up to our level. Like, yep. I feel like Chicago being a home match, it needs to be a home match.
Agreed.
Yeah. And I think Guz is playing well. Orlando has juice. So Orlando doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me to start him there.
Agreed. Yeah, Chicago would be a no disrespect safe team.
That's my theory on it, because I think I don't know that your first start in MLS in an away setting, it doesn't matter where, is doing anybody any favors. Feel free to disagree with me, Jack.
I do have a lot of bad memories about playing in Chicago. That's for sure.
You aren't kidding.
I don't want to assume that these guys are going to be as terrible as they were on the road as last year.
Mm-hmm.
If you told me in 2023 to give it a shot, especially in like that April to June window, I've been like, yeah, maybe not. Because there was some disaster matches in there that we'd never want to talk about ever again. But I would like to think that was a good one. We won that game.
No, when they came here, they beat us.
I was thinking just about on the road.
Oh no, the away we smacked them down, but then they came here and we were like, "What?"
I feel like either is fine. I don't think that's a
okay.
I feel like that's stretching too far into the
okay.
The I don't know, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
it's a stretch, I would say.
Okay, all right.
I was just gonna say at the very least you go to the international break, you know, if whenever that is, you know, if it's like mid-June or something like that, you know, you just, you got to start weaning him off, you know, weaning Brad off.
I agree with the idea of just having Josh play Leagues Cup, because that doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
So play everyone you don't want to get hurt.
Throw him in for US Open as well, and that matters more to me, honestly, but I'm fine with that.
It's a real tournament.
Right? Not just something created out of thin air. Been around for over 100 years. All righty. So we'll call number four the honorary Derek Williams take, right? I mean, we're talking about the defense, and a lot of that is down to him, is especially with chemistry, communication, gelling. That man, maybe
communicating.
I don't want to call him a surprise. Like, I think he's a good player, but as far as like an under the radar, like a really impactful signing, apart from your Jandes and Muyembas of the world, you know, he's been great. He's been tremendous. And if we look better, which we do, I think, and I think you can see it building, I think a lot of that has to be down to him. Great individual performances from everybody else too, including him. But as far as being the organizer back there, that's on him. I'm glad we have our Irishman back.
We were lacking an Irishman.
Because you had already, you said a minute ago that you had forgotten he existed.
Yep.
In a good way.
Is that a good thing, though? Does that mean that he's out there doing his job?
Oh, no, that's me purely forgetting we had him on the roster.
No, I get it. There's a lot of new faces, Jack.
When I watched the Columbus game, I didn't exactly have a great angle of my television, so I could not have picked him out on the television. And then,
I don't think I could pick out Schlies. I don't think like by the face, I don't think I could do it. It would be like
Derek Williams is subtle too, and is also his Irish accent is really subtle. It's not super thick. It's not like what we had with Mulroney.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really surprising. You know, he was picked up on waivers. He was not
right, the
big flashy, hey, no, you know, whatever, or, you know, the touted prospect of the future, because, you know, we've been talking about Noah Cobb coming up for, you know, quite some time. So the fact that he stepped in, won that starting role, and then again, you know, playing the way that he has been with intelligence, where you hear his teammates praising his communication and his vocality and his vision on the pitch. Like, that's really unexpected. Like, it's like finding buried treasure. The other person I really would like to recognize defensively this match is one Caleb Wiley. Because he was on Carlos Heel for most of that match, and shutting down Mr. Carlos Gil is not an easy job for anybody. And I think, either Doug or Jason who actually compared Caleb's trajectory to that of one Alphonso Davies, which I find to be
that's pretty high cotton.
So Caleb's going to the Bundesliga, huh?
I mean, we keep forgetting he's only 19. Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I think he's destined for Europe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sooner than later, I think we lose him after this season. Depending on how this season goes.
Yeah, if he has a good season, yeah, he should be on some guys' radars.
Yeah.
Very much a Bello situation.
Hopefully it goes better than Bello. Even though Bello's doing a bit better in the Turkish league now. Not amazing, but certainly better than the relegation, on top of relegation fights that he was going through. All right, so maybe this is a small thing, but it stood out to me, especially like the last 10 minutes of the match or so. Gonza was very animated on the sideline, especially after that goal that was conceded that was quality.
Yeah.
Heel's done it to us every time he's played. Goal or assist, he's too good, half a yard. He was well marked. It was well defended. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
It's a great goal, but Gonza was not happy about that.
No, he wasn't just standing there with his arms folded.
He was really back and forth. He was really annoyed, and he was annoyed in the press conference too.
Yep.
Despite it being a quality hit. I think it's great. I want that mentality.
Yeah.
I think we've been missing that.
Yep.
My frustration with Gonzo, apart from some of the tactical things, is like
last year
in the press conference is just kind of, and I get it. You don't need to throw your players under the bus. I don't want that. Please don't be Jose Mourinho.
Don't placate to the press.
But it's also okay to come out and say that wasn't good enough.
Yes.
And he brought that energy. Good.
Yeah.
Don't be satisfied. Don't be satisfied with that. Yeah. Carry that mentality forward. 3-0, where's four? Great. Yeah. Four, keep a clean sheet.
Yep.
And he was bummed that the defense that did a really good job, and Brad did a really good job, didn't get that reward. Everybody else, the attack got their rewards and the defense didn't. And that pissed him off. And it should. And it should piss us off too.
Yep.
Keep that energy going. Don't let off. I like that because I've been getting too much, I don't know, complacency.
I think a lot of people want, I'm sorry. I think a lot of people want to complain that Gonzo doesn't get it right from a tactical standpoint, right? But what Gonzo does that one Tata Martino was never really willing to do all that much is actually look at a match inside of the match and make adjustments and subs and things of that nature. And I think he made the right subs yesterday. You know, okay, we've got
Gonzo's
this.
Gonzo's been good about that.
You know, he's been better. Like we said at the beginning of the pod, like we weren't getting it done through the middle. Okay, change it up, right? So I think that part's getting better. Obviously, he's got better tools to play with. But yeah, he shouldn't be satisfied. I wasn't satisfied. It was a fun match. I had a ball. I was covered in beer and glitter and all was right with the world. We are not at the peak, anywhere near the peak of what this team is going to be capable of doing.
I get really
tired. We shouldn't be satisfied with that.
Agreed. I get really tired of coaches constantly having to battle for their job. Okay. And I now to be fair, what I mean by that is that
you know nothing of this. Nothing of coaches battling for jobs. You've had a coach for 10 years. You are not Chelsea.
I'm not talking about no. I know that. You know that I can separate my English from my domestic. Now calm down. What I mean is that Gonzo, I feel like, has been fighting for his job all the way up until the beginning of this season. I honestly think that because of what the first season when he walked in, it was injury ridden. And then last year, more problems. And then we got in new players. And then he was actually able to finally put together a starting 11 that he felt confident in, that he could be proud of and that he could do something with tactically. I think he was finally happy with what he was able to do. And so now he's been able to relax a little bit and not just, and like I said, don't placate to the press. When you go into your, press conferences and you're talking about your performance, don't just be satisfied with the win. Take responsibility for the losses. And he just didn't seem to be willing to do that last year because I think he was fighting for his job. And I think that maybe it's a little more secure now. No, I'm just saying.
I think he takes
responsibility. I think he does. And I do appreciate, like, he gives you a lot in the press conference. Like, he goes into a lot of details. He doesn't just give just the standard stock answer. So I do appreciate that from him.
What I'm saying is that I think his job is a little bit more secure. It's definitely more secure at the beginning of this season than it was halfway through last season. So he's able to maybe, like you said, he's able to not be satisfied. He doesn't just have to be like, yes, I'm so happy we got a win and not say anything about it. He's able to now take the position of not being satisfied with a 4-1. And I'm just saying, I'm happy with it. I was happy, just like you were, to see him pacing on the sidelines, not just standing there with his arms folded. So I think it's a good thing. Don't stop. Don't ever stop. So, yeah.
Jack, you look like you have thoughts.
Yeah.
Furrowed brow and all.
Yeah, I'm looking for some results here, because I get your point of, like, if we haven't been able to complain about not being good enough from a winning standpoint, but then I'm also thinking about, we didn't exactly have that many games to even give ourselves an opportunity last year, so I'm looking at last year's results.
Yeah.
And it's, all right, there's the 3-0, it's at Charlotte, there's 1-4-0 against Colorado, another against Nashville, and that's in one against Montreal, so there's only like three or four and then that Miami game. So three of these games came after we got the guys too. I going that far to that conclusion feels rushed to me, is what I would say, because I think you had it right in the front half. We're like, well, none of this has been real, And like, even if what Garth has said, it's like it's gonna take three transfer windows to even get sure. to
yes
what's supposed to be what this all is supposed to look like. Like the That's real
right.
team,
right? I want
to
say new, last year's team the was new, yeah, mm-hmm. the, well, the new era,
version,
yeah.
The ideal version of their vision has not existed until 2 weeks ago.
Agreed. Like that was
they did not exist. Yeah.
Right. So my... what were we judging him on up to that point?
I remember.
How do you judge him?
Except
up to
the high
that
highs think, and the, right, except the high highs and the low lows. So
that's why I would disagree with you that he was on any kind of hot seat because you couldn't actually yeah. judge his tactical ability.
I never thought he was. That's what I'm trying to say. Is I hate that he was constantly having well, to fight for his job when it wasn't fair for him to do that.
But
he
wasn't, his job is more secure.
That's what I'm saying.
Now
it's less secure now. He's on the last year of his contract.
I don't think he was fighting for it. You say
he was never going to get canned.
He wasn't fighting for it last year. Like you know, he would have been if we sucked.
Maybe
he yeah, was, but
maybe
how often did we talk about it? Oh, if we don't get to
yeah,
the playoffs,
but he's not fighting
Gonzo
us.
Loses it. Oh, if this
we don't fire
happen,
him,
we're losing Gonzo.
We don't. Fire
I'm
him.
Aware of that, but we are you know the public opinion here, and we have you know we're always listening to the people that comment on all of the different posts everywhere.
Yeah, but
every time
Garth...
we lose, they're calling for his job. Every
yeah,
time
Boca,
we lose.
Boca and Garth, are, especially Garth, are not taking fan input into account with...
I'm aware of that, Glenn,
so,
yes.
I don't think he was fighting for his job ever. I mean,
and he turned it
everybody
around.
Is all the time yeah. to a certain extent.
I'm remembering right. this terrible stretch we had. Lost to Nashville, lost to Miami, lost to Charlotte, yeah. beat Colorado, yep. and then four straight draws.
Yeah.
That was not fun. And there was a lot of those
that was frustrating.
And that was a lot of losses, wins that turned into draws and
right.
mm-hmm.
and draws that turned into losses. Like it was yeah. that was just brutal. Mm-hmm. So brutal.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a different I mean the energetic core of this team is different. Like the longest lasting guy is outside of Guz is now no longer the quietest guy on the team. Also.
Yeah.
Big difference there. There's a lot of vibes that are different. There's so many tiny things all over the place that can add up better when you can actually do the thing you want to do. So
I have a question for you, Jack, because you just made a very valid reference. Losing Miles to free agency, was that good or bad for us?
I think that was good in the long run.
If it didn't cost us anything and...
Now I wish we would have traded him then.
Yeah,
instead of
well,
what we did.
Yeah.
But that's some like baseball, basketball thinking. It's a little bit, I know it's different in MLS. It's yeah. not as easy as just like, it's not as easy to just rent a guy for 4 months and then he resigns or something like that. Like it's not the same.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah, look at Ibarra.
Right. I got that right. I said he was never coming back and look at this. Never came back.
I know. I think poor Jennifer just didn't want to admit that he was never coming back. And
I just
felt
bad for the guy. He was really like the only person having a breakthrough season
last year. No, he didn't do anything wrong. It was by no fault of his own and it was a big bummer and I know that, but I'm just saying, I think we all knew that he was never going to, if he wasn't in the core plan to begin with and they had to let him leave, then he was never going to come back.
Yeah. I'm thinking of just like those moments where we just let in just plain old bad goals that are just like, what the hell was guy thinking? Miles was not victimless there. He absolutely was that guy every once in a while.
Yeah.
There were times.
So
there were times.
Granted, we'll have to see if Derek and Gregerson, you know, hold that up. It's only been two games, but they certainly play with an energy I haven't seen in a second back there.
I think that's why Gonzo is really frustrated with the goal that we did cough up at the end because
right, they were doing so well.
It was
they were
off
right
a
there.
Set piece. Yeah. We didn't get back in time to get fully set. Right, it was a brain fart kind of goal. We missed, yes. Carlos, well, okay, no. Carlos Gil hit.
Pretty tightly marked. It's Carlos Gil.
It's a good goal. It's a good goal.
I'm not saying it wasn't, but
good goal.
There are things that we could have done better defensively. We were not as
leading
organized.
Leading up to that good goal?
Okay. We were not as organized as we could have been. That's what we turned off. That's what this team has had a problem with. You know, we didn't get going out of the gate. We turned off for a half a second, and there is too much talent in this league that will exploit those 30 seconds that we turn our brains off.
That's how we lost so many games. Yeah, that was a problem last year.
You can't ever turn off.
You're right.
We lose those games in like 5 minute stretches, give up two goals, and it was like, what the hell just happened? Like, we had that.
Exactly.
So I totally get
it. And I think that's why Gonzo's pissed. I think that's why Gonzo's justifiably pissed.
Yeah.
Especially if you're really super confident and you're really hyped about that new back line. And like Jack said, playing with an energy that he hasn't seen in a minute, and you're jazzed up about it. You're like, yeah, you guys are doing so well. And then that one momentary lapse.
I mean, the emphasis is on defense. So when there's, you know, when you concede, because that was the point of correction this season.
And let's be real, the East talent-wise, top to bottom at this point, because look at the results Toronto's getting. Look at the results Charlotte is getting. Look at fucking Montreal beating Miami.
3-2 today
in Miami.
Brilliant.
Okay, top Joseph to bottom.
Joseph with an assist tonight.
Top to bottom, goal differential is something that can and likely will matter down the stretch.
Yeah.
Do you want to look back at this match and have this be the difference maker between home field advantage in the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
Because it could get that tight.
Oh, it always seems to. It did for us. It mattered to us that we didn't, you know, like having the one home match that we had against Columbus mattered, you know?
Yeah, this year will be even tighter, I feel like, than even last year or any previous season. I think this is going to be like, you know, 1-5, 6. 1-6 is going to be separated by 3 to 5 points.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be close on that stretch run. It's going to be very, very close because there are those moments. Yeah, there'll still be the Chicago Fires of the world.
Every season we've had really some dumb loss. There's something. There's enough games that happen. You're going to get a silly one. Have you all talked about the penalty kicks yet?
No, not specifically.
That was the last one. You want to talk about penalties? Shoot, go for it.
All right. Do you know how many penalty kicks we won last year?
Got awarded to us? Probably very, very few.
I'm going to say, let me take a guess at it.
Isn't it? Five?
I want to say four.
Yeah.
I'm assuming Football Reference is right here. I don't know if this includes Open Cup. I think it's just regular season. One.
Four. Okay,
just one. I knew it was low.
This was a big thing kind of dawned on me late last year, is that part of why we were so freaking good in 18 and 19 is because the just mass chaos we create in the first 30 minutes just birthed so many Joseph easy penalty kicks. Like that was just how dynamic that offense would just result in just fouls like that. And granted, the second one was just a fluky handball. But that first one was kind of legit. The offense was not like, and I would say also, we don't think maybe deserved to get one penalty kick last year because we get down there, but we weren't good about finishing.
Right. That's a good point. That second penalty was a proper penalty, like created because we were threatening and you had to foul.
So I feel like that's going to we scored a lot of goals and somehow we only had one penalty kick. That's going to be a thing. I think that's going to help us a lot this year in just getting more of those insurance goals and setting the tenor of a game.
And what was great is that we did get to see, I assume, Jack, maybe you can tell me, who took that penalty? Who took that single penalty? Was it Almada?
Let's see. This was the only goal we scored in that loss.
Yeah, it wasn't Gigi. It was Almada.
It probably was.
Right. Well, my point being, I'm glad that both, we had two different penalty kick takers last night. And some, you know, Gigi came out in the preseason saying that he wants that golden boot, and something that I said when he stepped up to take that second penalty, or because they were like, because Almada took the first one. So it was like, oh, Gigi's going to take the second one. Well, as a number seven, as a striker, if you want to score goals, you're going to have to be able to step up and take penalties when those come out. So you want to be that guy that get up there and be that guy. And I'm not saying that he was afraid. It's not like that. It's just that Almada took one. All right, now it's your turn. And he got up there and he went up and he stepped and it was perfect. It was a perfect penalty. So let's do that. Let's keep doing that. He wants to be the guy.
Going back to the first penalty that was the quote unquote handball against Nick Lima, right?
That was the second one, right?
When Saba scored, but he didn't score and they pulled it back. So the second one was
I was flip-flopping him. You're right.
Questionable whether or not it's one of those calls that last year when we played against Philly and when we played against, I believe it was New England away, we didn't get.
It's a handball for me.
Well,
we had a couple that were not given.
I remember it distinctly. I was furious. I was absolutely furious because they were exactly this play. So, and I think you actually came on, Jack, and taught, you know, we asked you, like, you know, is that because, I'm just curious, like, if that is now, yeah, you know, that's a handball, right? I mean, you could, you know, his arm.
If his arm's draped down, should be. Also, keep in mind, replacement reps. So, what is a handball now very well may not be a handball in however many weeks that they come back. And I know that was a big complaint last
year. Fucking hate that.
I know that was a big, that was a big complaint last year too, just with the players in the league in general. Like, multiple players were like, we don't know what a handball is. We don't know anything.
Nobody does.
So and they kind of did this in NFL catch rule as well. Like, if it looks like a catch, make it a catch. If it looks like a handball, call it a handball. Like, there's some just plain obvious ones where if you think about it too hard, then you're too far in the weeds. So yeah, if the arm's down,
I just can't stand. Pick a rule and fucking stick with it. I don't care if you change it at the beginning of every single fucking season. But whatever it is at the beginning, it better be at the goddamn end. I'm so fucking tired of the goddamn handball rule changing. Just don't even because it's changed in the Premier League this year too. I don't know how many handballs Liverpool has not been fucking given because of that shit, and I'm so fucking tired of it. We had one today that would have given it to us. Jesus Christ!
Aren't they top of the table?
No, we because we tied Man City.
Very, very angry, fighting for old, fighting for a quad. Privilege life. Hey, I will say, this has been a lovely weekend. It's been a great weekend.
It's been good. It's been a pretty good weekend.
Chelsea Football Club can't hurt you. Chelsea Football Club doesn't play.
Oh my God.
I know, we play tomorrow. I'll be working. Wait. I won't even be watching it. I'll be working. It's fine. I don't care.
I just need to say that, like, the disco continued from Saturday night all the way through Sunday morning.
Yes, Tottenham had a great day against Villa at Villa Park. What a
signature win for Spurs today.
You did. Yes. Villa got a red too, I think.
Yes, he did.
That was a dismantling.
I took my little sunny picture.
Yeah.
But no, I just, since we had you, Jack, I wanted to ask, like, is that because it's replacement referees and not pro, or do you feel like that's...
That felt easy enough for me to call, but you're talking to a guy who has never actually refereed or played in like three games ever with a real referee. So,
well, that's forthcoming. You'll be out there soon enough.
If anyone wants to invite me on their team, I'm available. I got you.
Footy Mob FC is always looking for players for Sunday League. If you're bored and have nothing to do,
is Footy Mob looking for VAR? We put Jack out.
Well, we don't want that. We don't want that.
I want that.
Not for Sunday League. Not for Sunday League. That's how no one likes you. That's how no one likes you.
All right. I make a motion that we adjourn this meeting. Do I have a second?
Yes, second.
I will second it, and I will see y'all with some Irish car bomb jello next week.
Ooh.
Yeah, the little cake pops you brought, those were tasty.
Sadly, I missed out.
They were kind of deflated. They were tasty.
I missed out, Jennifer. I did get there. I want to make sure that is very, very clear. I did make it to the actual tailgate before it was over. I did make it. I was there. God damn it. I pounded 4 beers in the parking lot just to make sure that I wasn't level. I needed to be on some sort of level as everybody else. I just had to do it really, really fast.
Wow. Okay. Who do we play next week?
You were me at
Orlando.
The playoff mat where I came in.
It's Orlando next week.
You know, I think personally, I hate Miami more now than Orlando.
I think
I'm there.
I'm with Jack on this one.
I'm there.
Everybody knows, and everybody's listening knows why. So yeah.
I still hate Philly most of all. Very, very closely by Columbus now.
So
no, and it's Red Bull for me.
I think it's Columbus. It's Columbus. Yeah, it's Columbus. They've taken more from us.
But they didn't do it. But they haven't done it cheaply.
Yeah,
I respect them. They're good.
I respect
them.
They're
good.
Right. I can respect you and not like you at the same time. That's Columbus. I hate them. But
but why?
Good.
They haven't given – just because they beat us?
No, it's because he's from Ohio. And it's from Ohio. From Ohio.
You
want
to tell? You want to tell it to Darlington Nagby's face?
No, the Atlanta driver gets a pass. All righty. Thank you very much for listening. We really appreciate it. Thank you for going to Mason Mill. Thank you for joining the Atlanta United Fan TV Discord, interacting with us there and interacting with AJ and Michael there, and for meeting up with us at the halftime meetup outside Molly B's on game day. It was a lot of fun. We're going to do more of that. I think we're going to do even more meetups at the tailgate, and there will be a tailgate next weekend, same lot as the old lot. And like Jennifer said at the beginning of this thing, shouts to everybody who made that tailgate happen and dealing with the fiasco of just getting to that point. It's really frustrating to try to lock down a new spot, maybe a better spot, only to have to find out, oh, we got to go back to the old spot less than 48 hours before the tailgate's happening, and having to field all the questions from everybody, all the members of the supporters groups. Hey, where are we going? Where are we going? Are we tailgating? Y'all did it. We appreciate it. That energy that was brought into the bend started there and carried up the ramp, and we almost broke a street. It's incredible.
It was awesome.
What these people have done. If you want to learn more about supporters groups, please go back and listen to our supporter group episodes that we did, the history of supporter group culture, the Gulch, what it is, and a little in-depth interviews with members of each of the supporter groups, minus Lodose, who we weren't able to get, but we hope to be able to get in the future. Get yourself involved in this. It is one of the best things you can do.
Yep. And that was something I was going to mention just as well, is that thank you to anybody who listened to any of those and went out and joined yourself a supporters group. You know, that's exactly what we were hoping to accomplish. And welcome and thank you to any new listeners and anybody. If you guys see us out when we're out at the tailgates or we're out at the matches, or if you just randomly see us at a grocery store wearing a Five Takes jersey, come say hi. Glenn gets all clammed up and doesn't know what to say, but I am a super social person. Jennifer will throw some glitter on you. Maybe we'll actually remember. Maybe we'll remember to keep some stickers on us, and we'll throw them your way. But what I'm saying is, we appreciate it. If you're a new listener, welcome. If you're an old listener, thanks for being here. We love doing this, and please come say hi to us. Glenn gets all nervous and like just.
I'm not nervous and clammed up. It's just humbling when someone comes up to you and you're just walking on the way to the mat.
I figured out how to someone says, Glenn, by the way,
I really enjoy what you create.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
It is. It makes us feel good, and we're happy for it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's cool. It's a really cool thing, and it is humbling. And
thank you to the people that listen. Otherwise, we'd just be talking into thin air. So we appreciate.
And if you appreciate, if you appreciate the content that you're getting here, Glenn accepts donations of quality tequila.
Yeah. Oh man, the tequila we had at the match. Too much, but it was
I think everybody felt the home opener vibe yesterday, because I've been fighting it all day as well. It's been a bit of a struggle.
We're not fighting. You and I are fighting, and Jennifer's fine anyhow. She's a different person. We've established this with her genetics. She doesn't age, and she ages
like the wine on her wall. That's it.
Pretty much. All right, y'all. All right. Thanks for listening.
And thank you, Jack. Thanks, Jack, for coming in.
Thanks for Jack for crashing the party.
Jack,
we appreciate you.
Lately, but you know, we have.
That's a little accurate.
Love it. Yeah. We love it. All right. We'll be back next week, hopefully twice, with a new Five Aside episode, and then a Five Takes episode after Ofio comes to town. That'll be a blast. All right. Until then, y'all be good. We will be back.
Meow.
Yeah, sure.
Meow. It's like three. Let me think about it. Carry the three, Dine. Meow.